Blog Talk Radio.
Is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is January 13th, 2024, and you're tuning to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome. We have a few topics we're going to talk about today, and looking for the co-host to be joining us. I'm going to give them a few minutes to join in. Janet Davis should be popping in shortly, and Tymon is at an event, so he's going to try to make it. So he gets to his vocation that he's headed to. You know, I just realized something that kind of disappointed me. I'm sitting here watching the NFL wild card weekend playoff games, and right now the Texans are playing the Browns. Texans are up at halftime 24-14, and I didn't know that tonight's game, the one that comes on at 8 p.m., is not available on regular network television. You have to go to Peacock. Yeah, another affiliate or another entity of NBC. And you got to sign up or you got to subscribe or you pay $5.99 or you can go for a whole year. Why are they doing this? I've never known a playoff. A wild card game be where it's streaming, you have to pay for it. That's just totally wrong. I really don't get it. So disappointing. I'm not going to get Peacock whatsoever. I guess a lot of these streaming channels are kind of suffering a little bit in a way. I mean, think about it. You pay for this channel, you pay for that channel. it starts to add up to the same amount of what you would pay for your cable bill, if you really think about it, some sense, along with your internet and all that stuff. Gets more hard, a little costly. So, NFL, I'm really disappointed in you. But with that being said, you know, also, seeing that my team, the Raiders, didn't make it to the playoffs, unfortunately, again, like usual over the years, and the Falcons blew it too, I think I'm going to go with the Texans. This team is unbelievable. They are nonstop. This rookie quarterback, C.J. Stroud, is just an awesome quarterback. Him being a rookie this year, then they have the rookie coach. They are really doing a great job. Like I said, it's a great game if you're into football. This is a game to watch. All right, so you should check it out. And it's, again, it's halftime. Let's see. Again, the Chiefs will be playing the Dolphins tonight on Peacock. Tomorrow you got the Cowboys and the Packers, and you have the Lions and the Rams. And then on Monday you have the Bills versus Steelers and the Bucks versus Eagles. Now, I hope that they're not going to do that with many more games going down the road where you have to pay to see these games. I really hope it doesn't come to that. That would be ridiculous. I know a lot of people who don't watch football, and you know, they said, "Oh well, you know, it's all these guys making all this money, and it's still entertainment. It's a game, you know." But I think that would be a little bit too much for them to be charged and to watch these games. All right. So with that being said, I'm still holding on to see where my co-hosts are. So. I'm not sure where they're at. Let me see if I can pull them up and see if I can get to them. I know the situation with Tynan. Janet, I just spoke with her, so let me see what's going on here. I think I got a text. Hold on just a second. Let's see what's going on. I think I got a text. Let's see. Oh, okay. So she just sent information over. And let's see here. So she's just finishing up sending information over to our chat page. Oh, speaking of chat, let me look at the chat and okay. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and throw in a quick music break and we'll be right back. Okay.
I got ready to unmute and then remute, and then I realized it was Blog Talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've made some adjustments with them and see how it goes. 'Cause, I don't know. They've been in this show quite a bit, not just with us, but with quite a few shows. And they sent an email and said, oh, everything should be fine now. And I'm like, yeah, well, everything should be refunded. But,
but know, the music kind of threw me off, too.
I'm sorry?
The music was different from what we normally listen to.
I had 3GLB there. For a moment, I went ahead and did a break for a moment, but I was just saying, I was on just for a moment. I was just saying how it's kind of disappointing with the NFL, what they're doing. They're charging for a game tonight to watch this particular game. If you want to watch it, you have to go to Peacock and pay $5.99 to get the Peacock service, the streaming service. I think that's crap.
Can I say something?
You know, I mean, mm-hmm.
If you have cloud TV, like an Android box or Kodi, you see every game. You don't miss anything. And you only pay a one-time
right.
fee. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Well, I have cloud TV, but like I said, I think it's wrong that this is, this game that's on now, I mentioned earlier, it's the Texans versus the Browns, really good game. It's on regular television. I think every playoff game should be on regular national television. It shouldn't be where you have to pay. I really don't. I think that's really wrong. So that's what they got going on. And I don't know. Disappointing, especially when you're talking about the Chiefs and the Dolphins. That's a game that, I mean, I'd love to see, but I'm not willing to pay $6, you know, see something I should be able to see on regular television. But that's the way they got it going, so anyway. So
that's why so many people are streaming. That's why so many people are streaming now.
Well, that is a streaming service. Peacock is a streaming service. They put on there where you.
Come on.
Well, they have it where you could pay $5.99 now to watch the game tonight, or you can go ahead and subscribe for a whole year. It's a selling thing or a selling tool, in my opinion. But I don't think that's right. Oh, and by the way, speaking of sports, you guys don't forget that the 2024 Summer Olympics are coming up. And I'm looking forward to that. That's one that I love. So it's coming up this summer in Paris. So that should be really interesting. So let's get to our topics at hand. So Hunter Biden shows up at this hearing, correct?
Correct.
But was it where he showed up with that, or was he supposed to be at another one that he didn't show up? Kind of like give us a little understanding of what really went on this week. Because I did see the part where when Marjorie Taylor Greene jumped up, Biden and his lawyers walked out. What went on with that, Janet?
Well, he was just trying to prove a point. They were getting ready to, indict him for not showing up for the hearing. And he wanted to have a public hearing. They wanted it to be private behind closed doors so that they could spin the narrative any way they felt like. And he refused to do it. So he caught them off guard because they didn't think he was going to show up. He showed up and he showed out. He sat down and, they went, it was like a circus, Mike. People complaining about him showing up. How dare you come into a closed door hearing? I enjoyed watching it, and I know anybody else who was looking at it enjoyed watching it. You know, he was just there to prove a point. So then after he sat there for a few minutes and they went and raved, and the Democrats showed how other House representatives during January 6th got subpoenas and didn't show up, you know, and he said if they show up for for the subpoenas, then Hunter Biden can show up for the hearing, you know. And then he patted his lawyer on the leg, and he jumped up and walked out, and the lawyer made the comments about, you know, they were willing to work with the House, you know, but it was, they had to change the terms because he was willing to meet with them. He just didn't want to do it in privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Marjorie Taylor Greene was acting like he was scared of women, and, you know, it was a circus. He was getting up and walking out. It wasn't because of Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know. Why would you want to be talk to someone who paraded your naked body during hearings? You know, that's what he did. She did to Hunter Biden to a few hearings they had. You know, she had the big old posters of him naked, you know, and they kept saying, stop showing naked pictures. But did that stop her? No. So I wouldn't talk to her either.
Mm-hmm. But
technically,
he
made a
this
point.
Wasn't, but technically, this wasn't a closed door
session.
Session because he was able to come in. They wanted to talk to him behind closed doors, so they didn't like the fact that
mm-hmm.
he was there, right? And then
and showed up during an open hearing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Okay. But
and
yeah,
Comer didn't
where,
even know what to say. The head of the Comer, he was like he couldn't say anything because he invited Hunter Biden to come in at any time. And they had proof that he had said it, you know, so he had
mm-hmm.
to pedal back his words.
Mm-hmm.
Backpedal, yeah. And it was a circus. But he proved the point.
Mm-hmm. But they're still trying to say that President Biden has something to do or is part of this whole thing, but with no evidence. Apparently,
none whatsoever.
No
right. That's sad. You know, they want to, you know, 1 minute it's Biden is feeble and don't know, stutter and don't know how to hold a conversation. And then the next minute he's like the head of a godfather of some kind of ring or whatever, you know. So which one is
crime
it?
Family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying it's the Biden crime family and it's not. And his mom, she, you know, she made a, I saw an interview she had yesterday on TV, you know, saying how she loved her son, how this is not just affecting, you know, him, it's affecting the children, his children, it's
mm-hmm.
affecting the whole family, you know, for them to keep, you know, trying to paint a bad picture of him. He paid his debt to society. People make mistakes, but when you correct your mistakes, why should you, a person, still judge that person for the mistake they made if they're correcting it? He's not a repeat offender or anything. Yeah.
Well, when they made the first deal, okay, for him, and apparently it backfired, another judge stepped in and said, well, no. That, you know, they're not going to sign off on that. This was a judge that was, from my understanding, was appointed by Donald Trump, former President Trump, correct?
But the thing that happened was the lawyer, when the judge asked the lawyer that had been investigating Biden for all those years, he threw with the investigation. He said no. And that was because he was getting heat from Republicans in the House and in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And so he backpedaled and said that he was still investigating. That's why that got thrown out. And then he came back saying the same things that he said Hunter was no longer, you know, had paid his debt to society. He paid the penalty and everything for back taxes, you know, and they changed everything to a misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then they turned around and backfired, turned it around and tried to say that, you know, he's got felonies. So which one is it? And it's only because he got heat from the Republicans because he didn't say he had found something on Hunter Biden after all those years, or Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the investigation was reopened. Yeah. So it wasn't the judge. It was the lawyer who backfired and said that he was still wanting to investigate.
It's funny because it's like someone said to me before, so had that been either you or me, we'd be in jail and have to bond out.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a bond.
Yeah.
You know, it's just funny all these people get in these type of troubles but never go to jail or never arrested.
True. They said Hunter Biden was white privilege. You know, how dare you come in this hearing, you know, having white privilege. I mean, they were going on and on and on, and I was like, oh, my God, what is this? You know, the police, mm-hmm. I guess the guards, they escorted them in. You know, I guess they had the Republicans. I know the Democrats, it was set up. It was a setup. Because how else could he go in and go all the way into the hearing without it being a guest of the Democrats?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how he got in. Mm-hmm. And they were ticked
off. They wanted, right, they wanted a closed-door session, but okay, so you're saying that the Democrats actually set it up for him to be able to attend.
Yeah, because they had all their papers in order. They had where the subpoenas had been given out to Republicans. They were reading them off. You know, Jamie Raskin, he made his little statement about how that, you know, I mean, but anybody can go back and look at it. I mean, the truth is the truth. You know, when you trying to cause grief or you're trying to get political points, because you don't want a person to win an election, so you're trying any and every way you can to try to discredit a person, and it backfired on them. It backfired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if they really wanted to talk to him and he showed up, they could have had a hearing right then and there. They chose not to do so.
Hmm.
So the Democrats proved the point. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on to another political thing, of, you know, it's never a conversation about politics without having Donald Trump in the conversation. and this is according to the National. Let me just read a little bit of this. It says, former President Donald Trump, banking on the 36-point polling lead he holds in advance of the Iowa caucus, took a day off from his blood and soil rally schedule in the Hawkeye State to appear in the D.C. District Court of Appeals as his legal team pleaded for absolute presidential immunity on behalf of their client. In reality, what they were arguing was for the conforming former president to be granted total immunity, but what's an extra M and a missing T in a legal strategy clearly modeled on MAGA guru Steve Bannon's fabled approach to press coverage, flood the zone with SHIT. Initial reports from the courtroom noted that three judge panel hearing Trump's case was skeptical, which is, decorous beltway journal speak for Google Eye with disbelief. The jurist promptly caught the, what is this, effulgent scent of Bannonism in the wind as Trump attorney John Saar gamely made the case that Trump's repeated and flagrant lies about the conduct and outcome of the 2020 election were actually part of his presidential duties and hence not subject to prosecution. Quote, I think it is paradoxical to say that his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed allows him to violate criminal law. Judge Karen Henderson, a George H.W. Bush appointee, dryly noted. Judge Florence Pan, a Biden appointee, expressed Sawyer for a press Sawyer for further clarification, asking whether under this expansive new model of immunity, a president could legally order Navy SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival after some procedural hemming and hawing. Sawyer actually conceded that yes, there couldn't be any prosecution of a president operating in full Corleone. I can't pronounce that. Mode if the chief executive in question weren't subject to impeachment and conviction in Congress first. Not only is this a discomfiting prospect for a sitting GOP congressional majority prone to all but literal forms of itself. Pan's question wasn't really the kind of seminar room hypothetical that citizens in a less woozily precarious democracy might hope for. So he's actually, or his lawyer is actually saying that, yes, that the former president could do whatever he wants to in his duty as president.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm understanding?
Killing his, right. Having a Navy SEAL 6 kill his opponent. So, in other words, Biden, by him being president, in our president right now, he can get Navy SEAL 6 to kill out Trump and get away with it. A president can be above the law no matter what. So you're saying and Trump is not the sitting president, you know? But you're saying that he's putting all this in place so that if he does get in office, he can assassinate his political opponents. Mike, that's the same thing that Putin does. He orders the KGB or whatever to go out and poison or kill his opponents, anybody who has anything negative to say about him. He gets rid of them. So Trump, he's letting us know all the things that he's planning on doing when he becomes president of the United States. It's just like with the taxes. I'll show you my taxes if I win. And then once he won, well, I don't need to show you my taxes now. You know, I'm under an audit. What kind of audit that you are under when the tax people said that they hadn't even thought about auditing him, never had audited him? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So you're saying
all these things, Michael, and I mean, is that serious to say that you can kill someone and just get away with it because you're above the law?
Well, he did say that he could go on, what street was it, in New York City and shoot
Fifth
somebody
Avenue, and shoot somebody and get away with it.
Get away with it. Wow.
He's putting it into fruition because he believes he can do it. I mean, it speaks for itself. This came out of the lawyer's mouth. The judge, the circuit judge, kept asking him, said, is it a yes or no question? He hemmed and hawed and finally said yes. But it was supposed to be no. So apparently they're going to vote against him, letting him run, I guess, in certain states that have him not, don't want him on the ballot.
Remove him from the ballot, right. But now one state up in Florida, if I'm not correct, that they ruled that he could be on that ballot. I'm not sure. Was it Colorado?
Yeah, but they were going to. They're going to appeal it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Mm. Well, you would think that, that, you know, that since states can do what they pretty much want to do, unless it's a federal situation, that they should be able to say whether they want, you know, a person on a ballot or not. That that their, you know, their state should be able to make that decision. I would think so. But this stuff is just mind-boggling because here we are, we're going into 2024, and we're talking about 2020. Something happened 3 years ago, going into 4 years now. We're going into the fourth year that this has occurred, and still there's nothing that has been finalized.
Well, you got someone who wants to drag it out. You know.
Well, now this is supposed to start.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, but I was going to say, but this is supposed to start. His case is supposed to start in March, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
one of the cases is supposed to start in March.
Now, isn't there a primary that's supposed to be this week, or is it next week?
I wasn't really following the primary, but I think it's next week.
Okay.
For the Republicans, is he going to attend that primary? He tried to get out of the hearing, this one that just happened, because he said his mother-in-law died and he had to attend a funeral, mm-hmm. and they went. They didn't go for it. They told him he still had to show up.
Hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But now, that's the question.
Will he show up? Gene Carroll case. I think it was that mm-hmm. case. I don't know. He's got so many cases. It's pathetic. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep track. You know, they're recently trying to say that Fani Lewis, the DA,
mm-hmm.
is having some mm-hmm. kind of fling with the other district attorney.
Yeah, I heard of that too. I heard that one too.
Just throw that out. They're trying to they grasp them for straws.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to throw it out. Yeah.
But what was I going to ask? I was going to say. But now, okay. So, what is it? Is it what is it? Where they're going to? Okay. I'm sorry. I was going to say something about the gentleman who stepped aside.
Chrissy?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ex-Governor Chrissy? Yeah, well, he gave a good speech to his followers, you know, and mm-hmm. to the, I guess, the nation, that it's very important not to let Trump get back in, you know, because of all mm-hmm. the things that he's trying to do. And I don't know about you, but I like having a democracy. I don't want to have an autocracy. You know, it's bad enough they have, by us being black, and they are trying to roll back. They already rolled back Roe versus Wade, you know. So not just black women having babies, but they're trying to get white women to have them. And, you know, it's not fair, you know, for affirmative action. You know, they took some of that away. You know, things that we fought for and marched for. I know I marched. You know, I was there when we had to march for better wages and being able to get into a company like Xerox or Kodak and, you know, Rochester Products. So, you know, like people, and 'cause I came from Rochester, I lived in Rochester, New York. And the only way you could work in companies like that, you could be a janitor or you could work in the cafeteria, but to be working on, but you could not actually build the cars, you know, or the computers or the printers or whatever it was they were making, cameras. You couldn't work on the line. You couldn't be a machine operator or an assembler. We had to march to get that right, because it wasn't what you knew, but who you knew. And they were only hiring, like a father getting his son hired or his nephew.
Right.
You know, it was like closed door.
So keeping it in the family or close.
Yeah. To get the bonuses, you know, because we were not, it was a closed, I guess, I don't know. Factories.
It was a good,
by the color of your skin.
Yeah, right. It was that type of thing, and that still goes on. You know, it still goes on.
Even the different pay. You know, a black man versus a black woman, or a white man versus a white woman, or Hispanic or Asian. They got a different pay scale for everybody, you know. And a lot of times when people get in and have a degree, I think somebody helped them get that degree, because I've worked with people who didn't even know how to do the job, you know, didn't even know how to use a computer. But you're supposed to be my manager, you know. That's mind-boggling. You got the job because of the color of your skin, not because of what you knew.
Or who you knew. It was about who you knew.
Right.
Color of skin and who you knew. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I saw that more in Georgia. Yeah, than I did up north, though. It's more discreet up there. It's not, you know, like it is down here. I have gone years ago to Carolina, South Carolina, and was in line, and the cashier looked past me and asked the person in back of me, that was a Caucasian, could they help them? And I said, excuse me. I said, you don't see me standing here? She said, oh, you're not from around here, are you? What is that supposed to mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm next in line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've known this to happen. That I had an incident kind of similar to it. You know, it's been some time ago. It's back in '80, but like I said, that type of stuff still goes on. And to me, it's taught. People don't just all of a sudden have that type of attitude or that type of bigotry unless it's taught, you know, or racism or racist. It's a learning thing. And unfortunately, it still exists. It still goes on. So just real quick, a little checkup, you guys, if you're curious. The Texans just scored 2 interceptions. It's 37-14. The Texans over the Browns. And it's only the 3rd quarter. I got to say, this team is awesome. I think I'm going to follow them, I'm going to look them on to the Super Bowl, because this is a rookie quarterback, C.J. Stroud, and a rookie head coach. So this is awesome. This is really awesome. First year. So they've been really great. So I thought I'd just throw that in there. Okay, so I'll be glad when this whole court case really gets going with Trump. I'll be glad when they really get it going, you know, because we're going into 4 years. It's time to go into fall.
I will be glad also, Michael, because we got somebody running around trying to act like he's still president of the United States. We are not a divided country, no matter how much they think we are. You know, we got one sitting president, and that's Biden. And Biden has done more than any president throughout the United States. Trump the other day said that he said, what was the president? He tried to say that Herbert Humphrey. He tried to say that Biden was a Herbert Humphrey, you know, because he didn't do anything. But the one who really didn't do anything was the one who, it's like the pot calling the kettle black, you know. I know we had COVID, but a lot of the things that was done, far as the money that was given to the citizens of the United States, if we had a Democrat majority in the House, and three of those the money that they gave out was because of the Democrats in the House.
Mm-hmm.
Had they had the majority, even with Trump's money, you know, that he had to put his little signature on. No, not little signature, big signature.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting old, though. I mean, you know, and people lose interest, and that's and don't keep track of what's going on, and that's how we can end up losing our democracy, because we're thinking that it's, you know, no big deal anymore, you know. And then you have people only looking at Facebook, listening, reading, what is it, TikTok or Instagram, instead of actually Googling or looking at the news, just say breaking news. You'll see, and you'll have a variety of articles that you can read. Pick the, you know, don't just read one, read more than one, so you can get a better
right.
perspective of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there's, you know, folks be like, you know, don't trust the media. Don't, you know, you always trust, you know, don't trust the media. Well, it's all media. You know, so there's different, there's different stories, there's different opinions, there's different articles that have a different view of what, you know, what the situation is. And that's what I say to folks, you know, they're like, you know, stop watching CNN, stop watching Fox News, stop watching it. Look, they're all media. It's up to, you know,
that's
the media
right.
is up to reading it, and then you, you know, filter through or sift through what you believe and what you don't. You know, that's all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I said they have to just fact check it.
Check it. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and exactly. they'll tell you whether it's false or, you know, just don't take a person's word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Because
that's
the statement
true.
That the lawyer made about Trump being able to send the SEALs out to kill his political opponent and be held above the law and not get in trouble for it, anybody
mm-hmm.
who don't pay attention and just hear that will think it's the gospel, you know? You got right now so many people are sending bombs or threats to people's houses and got the police
mm-hmm.
running over, you know? I mean, it, just because of something that one person says, you take the word
mm-hmm.
his word for it, and then you try to send threats. Well, those threats can end up making you be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think they can't trace where it came from.
Right. And they said there's a lot of people on the radar that since this all started, they have watched so many people that are on the radar that are making threats. You know.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, that's very true. That's crazy. It's a sad situation right now, to be honest. You know, you got people who still believe that the election was stolen. And what other time in history did people feel like an election was stolen other than when Bush and Gore,
yeah,
and that's the only time that was because of the fact of where the whole situation went down was in Florida. What's his name? The other brother was the governor, you know. So you know that's kind of odd
too, right? I'll give him that. That is kind of odd that it happened in Florida and your brother just happens to be the governor of that state.
Yeah.
And
well,
then it was the... I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say about Nixon, you know, because they broke into the Democrats' headquarters during the Watergate, and he
right.
ended up being in winning an election. A lot of people probably thought the election was stolen because of that. He got, you know, information that he normally wouldn't get. You know, he had people breaking into the headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
so,
then, go ahead.
No,
no go
that's
ahead.
All I was going to say. No,
yeah,
I was just
I think
mentioning.
That's the,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Gore and Bush one, now that one, I would say that was kind of questionable. And it was
yeah,
the Supreme Court who made the decision who won. And just
mm-hmm.
so happened that the Supreme Court was majority.
That's Supreme, yeah, that's Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. So, what was that, the hanging chad situation? So,
mm-hmm.
And then you look at what this one, for the mother and daughter saying that they were bringing in ballots, which was proven to be false. And this is what Rudy Giuliani was stating. And even when you have GOP individuals saying, no, it wasn't fixed, that's the problem, I guess, that where even people in their own part say, no, it wasn't fixed. But you still want to say that, yes, it was.
Right. It was okay when Republicans were able to do mail-in ballots and a lot of people were waiting to actually vote, you know,
mm-hmm.
and when they started having early voting,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the polling places were being moved, closed down, you know, they was finding all kinds of ways to disenfranchise people. I found out last election that they had me down as a white person. I could have gone to vote and wouldn't have been able to vote because it's showing that I'm white. So when I actually went to the, yeah. So when I went to the, I called and, well, first I tried changing it online and it kept populating back that I was white. So finally I went down to the headquarters in Canton. That's where the Republicans headquarters was. No, I'm sorry, the voting elections headquarters. And I told them I was there because I was trying to change my race on my ballot and couldn't on my ID. And couldn't because it kept changing back. And she looked at me like I was telling a lie, you know, until she actually pulled it up and saw what I was talking about. And I told her I'd never changed that. So I don't know how that got on there, but it wasn't from me, you know. And she went in and changed it, and it didn't change back after she changed it. Yeah. But right now, my cousin and I, we're making sure, and some of my family members, that the voting is everything that's on our election card is legit, that there's no changes.
Right. Yeah, you have to make sure that. That's for sure. Wow, that's crazy. They had you at Caucasian, huh? White.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they said white.
Right.
Yeah. And I couldn't change it. No matter how hard I tried, it kept populating back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I even had my son in Carolina go in and try to change it for me. Then my daughter, she tried to change it for me. Because I told her, they said, well, maybe you're doing something wrong. No, I'm not doing anything wrong. It was like a twilight zone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She, maybe you didn't look at it right. I saw it. It says that I'm white. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. You know, but they do crazy things, just like with Marjorie Taylor Greene. how her district moved all the way down into Powder Springs and Austell. How did they draw that map? You know.
Yeah, that I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from Rome, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
All the way down here into Cobb County. That I don't understand. But then now recently they did change that. A judge did rule that wasn't constitutional, and they had to go back and change it. So he finally signed off on it, correct?
I wasn't aware of that. That's good. Mm.
Yeah, I think he finally signed off on it because they had to go back and redraw it. But he said that it definitely disenfranchised a lot of black communities, a lot of black people. So he turned it down. And at first they were saying, well, we thought we did a good job. It's like, well, judge was better than you think. So that it changed up quick. And I didn't realize that, I did know it, but I thought it was really crazy when, you know, Georgia used to have this law, it was against the law to give people water while they're waiting in the lines to vote.
You can get arrested. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they changed it recently. I think they
you sure?
I think that, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Governor Kemp changed it finally. So that was ridiculous. Now, I know they always had a law about
it.
Yeah, I remember when Georgia used to be where on election days, the liquor stores would be closed. Or you couldn't, I think the liquor stores were closed during certain hours, but during the elections. I remember that when I first came here, you couldn't buy liquor because they felt that, you know, folks would go buy alcohol and, you know, get some guy drunk and get on the boat, you know, a certain way. But now this is true. This was back in the early 80s. And I was like, wow, really? They were like, yeah, can't buy no liquor on election day. Or at least during the hours, the voting hours. Okay, but I could see that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
For one, that's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. But again, I just hope that they go ahead and get this whole thing going so that we can just go ahead and move on because this could last for years. You know, even if Donald Trump would lose, or let's say he loses, and Ben Biden wins again, he's not going to go away. He's not going to go away.
No, he's not.
And I wonder, what would he even try again? You know?
Wow.
I wonder what he even try. Because he's up in age now.
Well, let them tell us. Well, I always say, you know, Biden can dye his hair and put some makeup or tan lotion on and look the same, you know, but he chooses not to do so. You know, that's the only difference. You know, it's a couple of years, but Trump, if he didn't do the tanning lotion, the orange tanning lotion, instant tan.
I wonder, and it's funny, I was looking.
Like Biden.
I was looking at a picture they showed of a Trump, and it's so crazy because if you look at it, you would think he wears sunglasses all the time because you look around his eyes and they look real white, his face is really orange. And that's normally for a person who wears sunglasses, you know?
No, he doesn't put the lotion on. He don't put the lotion on that. Because you usually say, keep away from your eyes. So that's why it looks that way. Yeah.
It looks crazy.
If he goes into a tanning booth, he puts goggles, those little glasses on, to keep the rays from getting in his eyes. So maybe that's why it's, you know, white, lighter than the rest of his face.
It looks crazy.
It
really looks crazy.
It sure does.
So again, we're hoping that this gets going, gets started soon. I want to change gears on this. I want to change to this other story, but I definitely want to take a quick break. Let's take a quick break and we'll come right back. How about that?
Which story are we going to be changing to?
Oh, we're going to check out that one of the jail, and then we'll get to Cat Williams. All right, this is TMGS. We'll be right back.
Show me where you're coming from.
right, welcome back to TMGS. That's Miss Carrie Lucas with Show Me Where You're Coming From. And the Mighty Whispers doing the background on that big hit record from back in the day of the 80s. Miss Carrie's going to be joining us this year. Love when she comes on the show. The matriarch of Solar Records. She'll be back to join us again. Welcome back to the show. And, you know, a moment ago, Janet, remember I was telling him about the score of this Browns and Texas game.
Right.
They got a whole 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the score is now 45-14.
And who's favorite?
This is, what is that term? A shellacking? They're getting a shellacking, and they got, I'm sorry?
Who is leading? I didn't watch the game.
Oh, the Texans. Oh, the Texans
okay.
are leading. Yeah, like I was saying, they have a rookie quarterback, C.J. Stroud, and a rookie head coach. And they are just really proving that they're really leaving it out there on the field. 45-14, 11 minutes and 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I didn't see this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last week when the Texans played, they played an awesome game, and I was watching them then, and I was really impressed. But like I said, since my Raiders aren't in it, the Atlanta Falcons, because they failed to make the playoffs, are not in it. I think I'm going to go with the Texans this year. I think that they're going to be the surprise team. They are really that good. Really that good.
Wow.
Great offense. Okay. So let's move on to our next topic here. I think it didn't come up. 1 second. Let's see. I think I got it here on this one here. Okay. This story is, pretty sad and pretty chilling. And this is from NPR. 215 people have been buried behind a Mississippi jail since 2016, attorneys say. Families of people who were buried in a pauper's field next to the Hinds County Penal Farm near Jackson, Mississippi, are calling for a federal investigation into the burials, which took place without families being notified. Oh, now my phone won't catch up. Hold on, you guys. Let's try to get this story to come back up. Okay. With their attorney now saying the field holds hundreds more graves, the families want. Oh, my phone is back. I'm up again, Janet. You got that story? Let me see if I can pull it up elsewhere. That was NPR, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can try and read it, but I don't have my glasses. So bear with me.
Okay, let me see if I can keep going. Holds hundreds more graves.
There's a twist to this. Well, Michael, while you're putting that up, you remember a couple of months ago we talked about a guy being killed and then they got buried and the family had him as a missing person. And they found out that he already had been buried behind an unmarked grave behind the jail. The police had killed him. Do you recall that?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, we talked about it. It was an article where the family was looking for her son, and come to find out he had been hit by a police car and broke his legs and everything. And then they buried him and didn't let nobody know, anything about it. And she had him as a missing person. Yeah. So that's in this story here. This is just like a follow-up from her finding out about her son and then realizing all these people are dead, killed, buried behind this prison, this jail. They said jail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm having an issue trying to pull it up. Let me see.
Wait a minute. We know, based upon records from the coroner's office, that since 2016 and the last 8 years, we can identify 215 individuals that were buried behind that jail, and their families have not been notified, Crump says, because Crump was involved in this other case.
That's what
that they
talk
about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when NPR contacted officials in Jackson to ask about Crump's allegations, Melissa Faith Payne and the city's director of communications said that the bodies were buried in a pauper's graveyard managed by Hinds County. It is not a secret burial ground, she said, and those graves are the bodies of those who went unclaimed by family when they died. These persons are either homeless people, inmates from the local jails who died, but relatives never claimed their bodies. Unidentified persons who officials were never able to connect with family, or even persons who died whose families couldn't have. But the thing is, the lady whose son was hit by a car and died and was buried never was notified, and she had a claim in as a missing person for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Crump got involved. A mother grief grew wide attention that fall. Last October, this is it here, Bernstein Wade told NBC News the anguishing story of how months after she filed a missing persons report about her son, Dexter Wade, she was finally told that her son was dead at the age of 37. The police also told her that county officials had buried him in a local pauper field, she said. Police investigators said Dexter Wade had been struck and killed by an SUV driven by an off-duty Jackson Police Department officer on Interstate 55 just hours after his mother last saw him. The police report said Wade was on foot at the time. The accident was investigated, and it was determined that it was, in fact, an accident and that there was no malice intent. Mayor Chokwe Antor Lumumba, that's a weird name, he said that last October. But Lumumba added officials had failed to inform the Wade family. There was a lack of communication with the missing persons division, the coroner's office, and the police department accident investigation unit, he said. By the time Bitterson Wade learned her son's fate, she had spent months looking for him, contacting police in Jackson, giving them potential leads, and asking for any updates about where her son might be. She also asked for help on social media to find him. I just couldn't believe that he had disappeared off the face of the earth and nobody knew where he was, she told the NewsHour. It turned out that Dexter Wade had prescription medicine bottle with his name on it in his pocket when he died. Within the days of his death, the Hinds County Coroner's Office was able to confirm his identity and share that information with police. But somehow, Jackson police were unable to inform Wade's mother until last August. Wow. Questions persist over burial. When Wade's family finally recovered his body, their attorney said that an independent examination found that his jeans he was buried in held a wallet, which contained his state ID, a credit card, and other identifying information. The fact that Dexter had state identification card and several other identifying items shows us that there were concerted efforts to keep the truth and manner of his death from his family, Crump said. According to the member station, Mississippi Public Broadcasting, there is no excuse, not even incompetence, for not notifying the next of kin on an identified man's death. Since the Wade family struggled to find Dexter Payne, the Jackson Police Department has changed its policy to improve how it informs deceased persons and next of kin. You know, 215 bodies since 2016, 8 years. That's a lot of bodies. So do you remember Crump being on TV talking about the young man dying?
I don't remember it, but based on what you're just sharing here, this is really sad because he had ID on him though.
Yeah.
That's crazy. There was like he said, he had an ID, he had a bottle of medication. Now how he got hit, and why he was on the expressway, they don't really tell any of that, right? But still,
his legs were broken from the head from being hit by a police car.
Right. I heard you read that. But they said he was on an expressway, isn't that right?
State 55.
Okay, on the interstate. So I don't know how the story goes, how he got there, but it's just a fact, just like you said, they knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
They knew who he was. And he has an ID, so it has a name, and then he or she is out there looking for him.
And they didn't even bury him in a box. They had exhumed his body by the time she got to the jail, and she realized he wasn't even in a box. You know, they just put him in the ground and covered him up.
Ooh. I'm looking here on the board. I see a couple of folks here in the chat room. Bring It Boys here. And says two broken legs is usually not fatal. Well, that's true too. But even with the broken legs, it could have been some internal injury. You know, if the vehicle rolls over the remainder of the body, not just the legs. Could have been internal injury, which that's what I'm guessing could have been the case. But again, there was ID on him, and all this time his mother has been looking for him. I'm wondering about this police department. I'm wondering, is this like a small community? You know, is this something? It can't be it can't be like a huge department. I'm thinking it must be a small police department because here they got the burial place in the back part of the police station. You know, this can't be a huge department. This must be a small town.
But for 215 people, that's a lot of people that was buried without a family member knowing. I mean, quite sure some of them might be homeless people, you know, but a lot of them, you know, some were prisoners, inmates, they said. But you when you have a family and you're not notified of a loved one's death, no matter whether they're in prison or what, that's not right.
Yeah. And if they were well if you're incarcerated, they have to know who you are. They have a record. But if they're not informing the family after you die in custody, I mean, you know, as they say, you're a ward of the state, so they are responsible for taking care of you while you're in custody and also of what happens to you after you are deceased, you know, at that point. Let's see. Be wise, a certain didn't say internal injuries. Please don't guess. I didn't say she said that. I said, I'm thinking it could be possibly internal injuries because it was brain board. She said, two broken legs is usually not fatal. And I was Janet, I'm responding to somebody in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say that she said internal injuries. I said I would guess it could have been internal injuries if being hit by a vehicle would kill him. I don't think two broken legs did. So don't say please don't guess. I'm saying I would think. All right.
Well, I'm going by what the article before this, when the lady was looking for her son and couldn't find him, they said it was internal injuries, and they felt it was a cover up. That's how Crump was became involved in the case. Lawyer Crump. Because they could have notified the mother. I mean, you got credit cards, you got a pill bottle with his name on it, prescription, you got his driver's license, the state ID or whatever it was. You know, they had plenty of knowing of the address and everything of where he lived because he lived with his mom. So they could have notified the family, but they chose not to do so. That's why they felt like it was a cover-up, because it was the off-duty police officer who hit him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of wonder about that, saying it was an off-duty police officer. Why not contact the mother? And you had all that information. That is interesting. I'd like to see what how this case moves forward. You know, and what was the reason for not following up with the information that they had? What was the reason?
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is really crazy.
Well, I thought this article was interesting, and because I recalled talking about the mother looking for her son and couldn't find him, and then realized he already had been buried, you know. So then to find out all these other people are buried in unmarked graves, that's unreal.
Is there more to this? Is there more of that story?
Well, I didn't read the whole thing.
Okay.
Why, you want me to finish reading it?
I want to go ahead and see if there's a little more to that, if there is.
Let me see if I can pull it back up. Here it is.
Wait a minute. I think I see it. Okay, let me see if I can make it through. I don't know what's happened this moment. At least two other families are known to have been informed they have relatives buried in the field. In the case of you can pull it up. I don't know why it's doing this.
Okay, I'm trying to see where you were at. It jumped on me too. let's see. Last October, by the time.
I know I started where it says at least two other families.
Okay. This right here. When Wade's family finally recovered his body, the attorney said that the independent examination found that his jeans was buried and that he held a wallet, which contained a state ID and a credit card and identifying information. In fact, that Dexter had a state identification card and several other identifying items show us that there was a concerted effort to keep the truth and manner of his death from his family, Trump said. According to a member station, Mississippi Public Broadcasting, there's no excuse, not even incompetence, for not notifying the next of kin or of an identified man's death. Since the Wade family struggled to find Dexter, Payne said, Jackson Police Department has changed its policy to improve how it informs. Yep, so I've read that. At least two other families are known to have been informed that their relatives have relatives buried in the field. In the case of a man named Mario Moore, 40 years old, the lag in the communication was compounded by another issue. But the Jackson Police Department initially failed to disclose more than 20 homicides that took place over the course of 2023. In October, when the agency finally released the names of people who had been killed, Moore family was shocked to see that the name his name was on the list, and to learn he had been killed on February the 2nd and buried in the same field as Dexter Wade. It is tragic to suffer the consequences of having to bury a child before you perish, LaMamba said last fall. But to add insult to the trauma, it's even more difficult not to have the ability to have a proper burial for your child. The mayor said his administration regrets what the Wade family endured. At that same time, he emphasized that an investigation did not reveal police misconduct or malicious intent. But weeks after the statement, the Wade family was confronted with another hardship when Dexter Wade's remains were finally exhumed in a pauper's grave. Hinds County officials had informed Bitterman Wade that his son's body would be exhumed and transferred to a funeral home by November 13th in a process that would begin at 11:30 a.m. After the months of uncertainty, the event promised a moment of closure. But as Mississippi Public Broadcasting reported, when Wade arrived at the field, she learned her son's body had been dug up hours earlier at 8 a.m. As Dexter's body was transferred from the coroner's SUV to the funeral home's van, Bitterson stared blankly into the black bag holding her son's remains and asked why they couldn't have at least buried him in a box. That's what the MPB reported. And I don't see anything else behind that. You know, they're going to be sued. Yeah. Because she had missing reports. She was on TV, you know, searching for her child, you know, showing pictures and even talking with the police. And he was buried all along in a pauper's grave.
And they bring her son's body to her in a black bag.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's crazy. Oh, man.
If he was in a black bag, you never know, because they had him dug up at 8, and, you know, when they told her it was going to be a different time. So they got time enough to throw it in a bag, him in a bag.
Yeah.
It's safe.
Mm-hmm. Bring it forward here. It says, hello, Mr. Gay, and to the show. Where have you been? You know, during the holidays, we took a little break, and then and actually, I was really teed off with Blog Talk. Blog Talk had been screwing up quite a bit, not just with our show, but with other shows, too. Some shows, they weren't able to open up microphones. Some, you know, they just got shut down right in the middle of the show and stuff, and it's just been a crazy thing. And what was crazy also is that where you would go on the board and they pop up and have this little banner there saying, we're experiencing technical difficulties. Okay, well, I'm experiencing technical difficulties when you take my money every month and you don't do the service. So that's been the problem, you know, recently. Blog Talk has just been really crazy, but they finally sent an email and said they believe they got everything taken care of, you know. Like, okay, so that's what's been going on. That's what's been happening. We've been So we took a little time off, and then we had a little issue with Pulsar. So I hope that I really do hope that they investigate this and see what's going on, because I still can't understand why not. You have the IP. Why didn't they just do the right thing? And you know, again, we don't know why he got hit or how he got hit. Was he walking down this road or across this highway, and, you know, in the dark or whatever? You know, I mean, that would be easier to explain, you know, that, hey, he was walking down the road or this and that other, and then just bury him. And here's all his identification right there. That's crazy.
Right.
Okay. BTR. Gods have been playing games. Cool that you're back on. Thank you. Yeah, they really have been playing a lot of games. It's crazy. But we're glad to be back. Also, don't forget, on Sunday nights, I have a show that come on at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's called Truth Spoken with host Darren Reynolds. He's broadcast from Birmingham, Alabama, so check him out. Young man, really, really smart, really interesting, great topics. So that's also at 6 p.m. Eastern, same that time, same that channel, here on TMG and the Michael Gay Network. B-Wise, you said murder one. Why would you say murder? You think it was a murder? That's what B-Wise said. They say murder one. I don't know about that. I wish they would, you know, look into it, though, really. From the investigation. Because, like I said, two broken legs. Okay, broken
yeah,
legs.
It's going to be a follower. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Crump. Because I remember back in November when this came out, they were really looking into it because, they made a big issue over the fact that the mother was not notified.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a missing persons report put out for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Police are very safe drivers. Well, yeah, they're supposed to be. I've seen quite a few wrecked police vehicles before, though. But, they're supposed to be safe drivers. I agree with you. Yeah, there has to be a follow-up on this. You know, that reminds me, Canada, of that the death of that young man in Mounds County, the one they found rolled up in the gym mat.
Oh,
and they
want
to say that he called him in there to get his tennis shoes out of it. Well, how did his tennis shoes get in there in the first place was the question. And then what was crazy, when the family went to retrieve his body, his body cavity was filled with newspaper. And they never found out how he really died. They claim that he suffocated in the mat.
Oh, he was supposed to have went out in the mat to get his gym shoes.
Yeah.
But the gym shoes weren't in the mat.
And they claim he suffocated.
Mm-hmm.
Something about that story. And they said that according to independent autopsy, there was a bruise on his head, but again,
yeah, blunt force. And also the film that they did recover had parts of it where it was doctored, you know.
Right. Yeah.
They showed the young man going in the gym and another young man going in behind him. Then they showed that second young man coming out with a different shirt on, you know, and the young man that was found in the gym mat was, you know, but it was the two brothers, and their father was supposed to be part of the FBI or something.
Correct.
You remember?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that part of the show. But still, again, there has never been anyone found accountable for his death, because it was just too many
just too many questions that were never answered in that whole situation. But yeah, that was Lowndes County,
right.
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That is
right.
Crazy. Wow. All right. So the time is now 7:31. I want to go over this group, and I don't know why I'm having this issue with my phone here. B-Wise is saying it probably was known by certain police, and they see the opportunity to put him to sleep. I have had a very dangerous situation with police also. They can murder you if you do not take precautions. Well, yeah, we've seen that happen quite a bit, you know, over the years, quite a few times. I can't get over the I accidentally pulled my gun instead of my taser story. So it's like that I can't get over. There's a totally different weight between the two, a different feel, a different grip. I can't buy those stories. So that's crazy. All right, so again, let me see if I can pull this up. I want to talk about you said you watched it. The
2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys, interview that Shannon Sharpe had with comedian actor Cat Williams has been the talk, and Cat Williams threw just about everybody under the bus. And he was talking about, he talked about P. Diddy. He talked about, who else? He talked about Cynthia Entertainer. He talked about Steve Harvey, how they're all there on the group and this, that, and the other, and how they all, you know, kiss ass, basically, and everything, and how they all lied about this, lied about that. And some people are saying, you know, they believe every word he said. Because, you know, in fact, I spoke with another co-host who's not here this evening. He had an event he had to go to, Time and Ship. I spoke with him about it, and he said, you know, whether what he says is true or not, he said, it might be. He said, because, you know, he's not so circles. He said, but, you know, he says, there's some entertainers. Janet, that Time and goes to a cigar, he's part of a cigar bar thing. He said, he's seen Steve Harvey in there, but it's a trip. He said, mm-hmm. Steve Harvey come there, and his side man or whatever, he said, hey, you guys, if you don't mind, let Steve sit over there by himself, you know, that's his spot, you know, and he don't like to be bothered when he's, you know, when he's here and this there. And Tommy said, how the hell he gonna come to our place and tell us how to act in our place? You know, I said, you have some of them like that, you know?
Mm.
But back to Cat Williams saying, saying that where Ricky Smiley said that he was supposed to then playing the role, or actually the role to play Monty Mike was supposed to be in him. He also said that Steve Harvey tried to get the role from, what was it, Ocean's 11?
Mm-hmm.
For them to cast him, the role that Bernie Mac got, you know. I kind of wonder, you know, a lot of that he's saying could be true, because I haven't really heard many people come back and say, you know, he's totally lying.
Well, he talked about, I did see other things on YouTube. You can follow it all on YouTube. Whatever Cedric the Entertainer has to say, or Steve Harvey afterwards. But he said that Steve Harvey stole his main line from him.
Uh-huh.
He said, and the only thing he did was his clothing. He said the only thing Steve did was change, instead of saying it was a car, he said it was a spaceship or something, you know. So he was able to back up just about everything that he accused them of, you know. He said that Martin Lawrence told him, he promised Martin Lawrence he would be in the next movie with him. But when Martin Lawrence played the movie, he played a woman in a dress. Big Mama, he said he wasn't going to be in a dress, you know, so he didn't do the second movie with Martin Lawrence because of that.
Right.
So, I mean, everything that he talked about, you could go back and look at it. You know, when he talked about Friday after the next, you know, he said he didn't play the Santa Claus. He said because he's only 5'5" and he weighed only 145 pounds. How would he gonna look like being a Santa Claus, skinny?
And
Santa Claus.
He said that, and he said that the character Money Mike was supposed to really have been raped in that movie.
Right, and he refused.
He refused to do it, and he said it would be funnier if he doesn't. And he explained how he went to them and told them no, because it's supposed to be a comedy. And he said, and I like that fact. He said, what is funny about rape?
Not a darn thing. And that's why they changed that part. Mm-hmm. So he made a lot of sense. He said he was 12 years old when he left home and hitchhiked through a truck stop all the way down to Miami, Florida. And he used to steal radios out of cars and sell them during the day, make almost $2,000 a week, and that's how he was living. You know, Cat Williams said he studied the dictionary. I thought that was close to home because I studied he said the encyclopedia, but I studied the dictionary, you know. Uh-huh. You know, some people just do some weird things, you know, so I kind of believe that. He said the whole encyclopedia he studied.
Yeah, because he was using big words when he was talking, that's for sure. Just real quick, B-Wise was saying a placement, I believe, on the last topic we were talking about. They still haven't found Officer Drew Peterson's wife. It's been almost 20 years. Well, there's a lot of people they haven't found, you're right. A lot of missing persons.
Are they still investigating that?
Good question. Yeah, good question. I'm not sure. You know, there's a lot of missing people out there they haven't found. You know, it's really sad. In fact, I was watching a program earlier today of a young 18-year-old girl who came up missing. She was at a party one night and went back the next day to get her purse that she left at the party. Went back and they never saw her since. And it's been over 30 years. And the ex-boyfriend was in prison for something or jail for something, and he confessed that he did it and then went to go show them where the body was. And they made a deal with him because it had been more than 30 years, but they made a deal that he would just tell them where the body was, that, you know, he wasn't going to be charged, you know. And they went on a lot of loose chase looking for the body, and he couldn't you know, pointed out and everything. He thought he was going to be able to go home and spend the other. He had got sick. He came down with something that, you know, it was going to kill him regardless. And he recanted his story, and sure enough, he died. And he died with, you know, not telling anything. But they said that there were other individuals that could have been involved. And he never did find a body. So no one has been charged for a murder. Officially. So that happens all the time. Let's see, be wise. It's amazing the number of people that cannot say, okay, meaning Santa Claus is Satan. We were never taught anagrams in school. Her family is devastated. Okay. Meaning the Petersons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unfortunately. You know, I'm trying to understand, though, back to Cat Williams, but all of this Hollywood bickering and fussing and fighting among celebrities, I just don't get it. And more so with black celebrities, I have to say. I don't get it. I don't like these shows with all this, you know, Housewives of Atlanta, Housewives of Texas, Housewives of, you know, to me, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like nighttime soap opera. You know, these reality shows. or like the nighttime soap operas, and people really latch on to these, you know, these things. They really do. They latch on to these shows, and they believe it's all reality, but it's not really reality. You know that the producers and everything, we just be pumping them up and telling them, okay, do this, do this. These are the Jerry Springer shows of nighttime. You know, that's how I feel. You know, I just never can get into it.
Right. Well, Cat Williams said that he don't understand why so many people want to walk around in a dress, you know. That's unreal, you know, but you got guys out there wearing dresses and thinking it's funny.
Well,
he said you'll never find them in one.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few, you know, on my job, you know, seeing folks from the store and they're in dresses. And but you know what my pet peeve is folks walking around in their pajamas. And come on now, those are pajamas. Look it up in the dictionary what it says. Okay, pajamas are for or what they're intended for. You know, house shoes and stuff like that. I mean, come on, they're called house shoes for a reason, to wear in the house. Not in the store. So, I don't know.
Listen, that's true, but guess what? I had gout. I had no choice but to wear house shoes in the store because I wasn't going in my bare feet and I couldn't put a shoe on. So the next best thing was for me to wear slippers, and I wore them in the store.
Well, I mean, I can see, you know, something, but there's people that, you know, just wear them all the time. You know what I mean? All the time. I saw a guy one time came to the store, and he literally had on his robe and his house shoes. And he was there because the contractors were there to do some work, and he was meeting them at the – this was at Home Depot. He was meeting them there. They were picture ill, and he came to pay for it. I mean, come on, man.
But why did you come in your house clothes? That didn't make sense.
Huh?
You couldn't slip your pants and shirt and shoes on?
That's what he came in the store with. And I'm like, come on, man. I just don't get it. I don't get it. So, but that's what people do. You know, that's what people do. So,
Cat Williams was also mentioning how a lot of guys are gay, pretending they're not.
Oh, on the download.
Yeah.
In the Hollywood scene, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, what was he saying about P. Diddy? He said P. Diddy be wanting to come and party with him. He said sometimes you just got to tell P. Diddy no. And then that's another thing. That's another thing where folks are saying things about him. But it's been said about him for quite some time, about his lifestyle and what he is supposed to be. He's definitely on the down low from what they claim. So
they're wondering why Katie Jakes is partying with them. You know, you're supposed to be a high profile minister. You know. I'm not trying to figure that one out.
Right, I've heard that too.
Mm-hmm.
T.D. Jakes is hanging out. You know, that's a crazy one there too. So I don't know. It's Atlanta, aka Chocolate City, is in WK capital. Atlanta is gay as hell. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think every city pretty much has a fair population of gay people. Atlanta does have an area that is, you know, I guess they would say the Midtown area is what they consider the gay area, where a lot of gay businesses. But I mean, New York has a lot
it's
of gay
the area
people
where people are open.
Huh?
It's an area where people are open about it, but you know, people aren't walking around with a sign on their back saying I'm gay. You know, that if you choose that lifestyle, that's you, because only you have to give an account to God for what you're doing. Nobody else is going to stand with you.
Yep, that's true. That's very true. Now, B-Wise is typing up a bunch of good BS here, though. Freaknik was not a gay event. Come on now. You know, Freaknik was not a gay event. It was actually Freaknik started with black colleges getting together and would have a picnic, and then it just grew. I remember Freaknik when it was here back in the 90s. So, yeah.
Yeah, they shut it down around 92.
Mm-hmm. No, it was like 96. I think I remember 94, because that's when it was, people were just everywhere, all over downtown, all by the varsity, and all around us everywhere. All the different parks were packed. Then they tried to condense it over towards, by that strip club. What was it called? Magic City, all down in that area. They tried to condense it to that particular area of that downtown. And then if I'm not mistaken, I think it moved to Florida. And what's his name? Luke from the Get Live crew, he started putting it on down there in Florida area, but it never did come back to Atlanta. Yeah, it never did. B.Y. says Freaknik was absolutely gay. Okay, if you think so. There was all kinds of people at Freaknik, so I wouldn't say it was completely, absolutely gay. There was all kinds of folks at Freaknik, that's for sure. Well, apparently, I'm thinking, B-Wise, you must have been hanging with the area where all the gay people were then.
Yeah, they blocked a lot of traffic, and it really caused a lot of issues during rush hour, because a lot of the students would stop in the middle of the street and get out and start dancing and singing. And it was causing major issues.
I remember we were going past the varsity, and we saw a person had a truck, and they had a sound system on it, and the girl was in the back of the truck dancing and everything, and showing herself, and guys came running out to the varsity, you know, throwing money at her. It was the strip club on the streets, I guess, at that time. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, 1994.
Traffic
is way harder than it was back then, because we've had a lot more people moving in. I migrated, you know, to Atlanta, just like a lot of other people. And I know a lot of side roads, back roads. Believe me, you have to learn how to get around, because it's like the least amount of time is like 45 minutes from where you leave to your from your home to your job or whatever. It's mostly 45 minutes or more.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I have a family member who has to drive 40, 45 minutes before they even get to the expressway. Then they drive another 40, 45 minutes. It's crazy.
Right. You know what? You're welcome to chat. Yeah, I don't mind that. It appears that Atlanta is a failed state. Where you live, B-Wise? Where you live? You live in Atlanta? Yes or no?
He said Atlanta's a failed state.
Yeah.
Say what?
I drive sometimes 4 hours to work. Okay, so where do you live? Switzerland? And you, oh, okay. You live in Switzerland.
Atlanta is a failed state. Well, Atlanta is not a state, by the way.
He said he's from Switzerland.
Yeah, now he's attacking black folks. Black folks cannot measure. Okay. All right, well, have your fun, Switzerland. All right, hey, you know we got about 9 minutes left before we have to get out of here. The King holiday coming up. You know, it's crazy how it took so long for that to become a national holiday. Glad it is that this person is funny. I'm glad to see that it has become a holiday. Bring it, boy. Thank you for stopping in and checking it out. I appreciate you stopping by and Yoga Matters. Let's see. Hey, boy, you know, I haven't been to Real and Raw in a minute. I'll probably check them out next week. I don't know if you checked them out today. Did you?
You talking to me?
No, I was just speaking to Bring It Forth. I was just asking. They had checked out Real and Raw today, or if they've been checking into them. But just asking them. All right, you were about to say, Janet, before we go?
No, that's okay.
No, go ahead.
It wasn't nothing. It wasn't anything. It wasn't anything important. It really wasn't.
Well,
thank you for asking.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, one more thing. I'm sorry. I was going to talk about Martin Luther King. It's a holiday, but they give you a choice. And I feel if it's a holiday, a legal holiday, you should have that day off, just like other holidays. Not you're getting paid for it, but you're still working, you know? That's a holiday that can be one of the floater holidays. I don't think that's right, you know.
Yeah, that should be.
Did you ever notice that? Do your job give you that day off, or is one of these holidays that you get paid and
no,
you take it during the
day off? You don't know. It's just another day today. You have to put in some time off. Okay. Well, it's about time for us to get on out of here. Hey, you guys, thanks for joining the show, listening in today. I truly appreciate it. By the way, congratulations to the Tennessee Titans. To the Texans, Houston, Texas. The Texans moved forward, and they just demolished Browns this evening. So coming up next is the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Miami Dolphins. It's still like this, that this is not going to be a regular television broadcast. They want you to pay for it through Peacock. But like Janet said, if you have Cloud TV, you can watch it on Cloud TV for free. Peacock wants you to pay like $5.99 tonight to watch this game or subscribe for the whole year. Oh, I hate that. No, they shouldn't be doing it. All right, well, appreciate it. Enjoyed it. I really have nothing
else. And I enjoyed it. It was a good show.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. Hope you guys did too. I'm trying to pull up the theme so we can get out of here. But the boy keeps acting crazy again. Oh no, there it is. There it is. My mistake. I have to just type this in right. And oh, I see what I did wrong. I got it. Okay. All right, you guys, have a safe week. Take care. God bless, and we'll see you next Saturday. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, to True Spoken with your host, Mr. Darian Reynolds, broadcasting from the B-Ham, Birmingham, Alabama. All right? Check him out. Really interesting show. Really interesting, brother. All right, now, we're out of here. God bless. Good night. Peace.
Good night.